You can probably treat yourself to an ad-free upgrade or at least grab an extra latte after getting a Chime checking account with features like fee-free overdraft up to $200 with SpotMe, no minimum balance requirements, and no monthly fees. Open your account in minutes at chime.com/goals24. That's chime.com/goals24. Chime feels like progress. Banking services and debit card provided by the Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A. members FDIC. SpotMe eligibility requirements and overdraft limits apply.
From KGW News, this is Straight Talk with Laurel Porter.
Hello and welcome to Straight Talk. I'm Laurel Porter. In this episode, we have a fresh take on the State of the Union address that happened last month. Every year, the president delivers a speech before Congress and the House chamber to address important issues facing the nation. It dates back to 1935 when Franklin Roosevelt first used the phrase State of the Union. And since then, it's become tradition that every member of Congress can invite one guest. Today on Straight Talk, we hear from guests of Oregon's congressional delegation who sat in the gallery for President Biden's speech on March 7th. Third District Democratic Congressman Earl Blumenauer invited Portland State University President Dr. Ann Cudd to be his guest. Dr. Cudd joined PSU last August. She is PSU's 11th president and only the second woman to hold that position. In announcing the invitation, Blumenauer said Dr. Cudd shares his belief that academic institutions and students play an important role in civic institutions and infrastructure and are uniquely situated to help engage in some of Portland's most pressing challenges. Fifth District Republican Representative Lori Chavez Dreamer invited Glenn Sukonik to be her guest in D.C. Sukonik is the behavioral health specialist for the City of Milwaukee Police Department, as well as the deputy director of the Clackamas County nonprofit Love One. Chavez Dreamer said, Oregon continues to experience significant challenges in addressing mental health and addiction, and we need more people like Glenn to step up to the plate and assist those who are facing hardship in our communities. And from the 1st District, Democratic Representative Suzanne Bonamici invited John Epstein to join her. Together, John and his wife Jennifer advocate in Oregon and nationally for greater measures to protect youth from the harms of substance disorders and accidental overdoses. The Epsteins lost their teenage son, Cal, in 2020 after he purchased online and then took a counterfeit pill disguised as a legitimate pharmaceutical. The pill was made of fentanyl. The Epsteins helped pass a bill in Oregon requiring fentanyl education in schools, something eight other states have since passed. We will hear from our guests about their experience at the State of the Union, their takeaways from the speech, and more about their contributions to our community and their vision for the future. Welcome to my guests, PSU President Dr. Ann Cudd from the Milwaukee Police Department, Glenn Sukonik, and Youth and Drug Awareness Advocates John and Jennifer Epstein. Welcome everyone to Straight Talk. We have both sides of the aisle represented. It's so great to have you here.
Thank you.
Well, thanks for having us.
Well, we'll talk a little bit about your experience first, and then we'll find out more about what you do and why you're invited. So let's begin with President Cudd. You've worked with Representative Blumenauer on education issues and on trying to revitalize Portland. What was it like for you to be his honored guest at the State of the Union?
Well, it was really thrilling to be there at such a historic time, and also to be such an honor to be there. But the theatrics involved all around, watching the president come in and watching all of the members of Congress greet him or talk to him in some way or another, it was all really exciting watching the Supreme Court come in. So it was great. I also took the opportunity to meet with a number of our Oregon delegation to talk about what we're doing at PSU. And I was lucky to meet with the senators from Oregon, Senator Wyden and Senator Merkley, and also to meet Nancy Pelosi while I was there. So it was really a great experience.
And in the green room, you were saying that you met the Epsteins as well there.
That's right. I met John Epstein.
Other guests.
Along with Representative Bonamici.
Well, Glenn, you were invited by Representative Lori Chavez Dreamer from the 5th District. What was it like for you to be there for that big event?
Yeah, I was very honored to be there. And it was it was very humbling to be picked to go. And her and her team were amazing. Not to just show me what the State of the Union was about, but the inner workings of the office. And I was able to follow her around and be in some big meetings that just kind of made me realize just what goes on behind the scenes is not what we see outside, and they're really busy. I think I got like 20,000 steps in one day alone.
So that's why they wear tennis shoes, yeah. The sneakers to run around.
And I was really humbled. They were really hospitable, had some really great food with some really great people, got to meet my wife's representative from Omaha, Nebraska, Mr. Bacon. So it was pretty cool to just be there and get to talk about some of the things we're going to be working on in the future, like mental health and houselessness.
And we'll talk more about that in a little bit. And Epstein's, John and Jennifer, you have worked with Representative Bonamici from the 1st District on her bill trying to get fentanyl awareness education in our schools. But she could only take one guest to the State of the Union. How did you decide which of you got to go?
You know, I think that was relatively easy for us. We do different aspects of our advocacy, and I work more with schools and interfacing agencies and coalitions to try to get the word out. John does a lot of our data and works more on the legislative side. And, you know, it just made sense. He was Rep. Bonamici's contact on this project, and also, he has a family connection to the Senate, and it just felt like a natural fit for him to go.
So what was it like, John?
Well, it was an honor, for sure, to be there and to be recognized in that way. More than that, it was exciting because it signaled to me that Representative Bonamici intends to actively work on the legislation that she has in this space. And while the ceremony was incredible, and walking through the halls of the Capitol was amazing. I think what I was most inspired and enthusiastic about was how much work we did while I was there. Up and down the halls, meeting members, trying to get members to sign on to the bill, meeting other guests and other members and introducing our work and hearing about theirs. The work of the day surprised me and inspired me.
So it wasn't just going to listen to the State of the Union, they put you to work. So let's find out more about what you all do, what your work is, how you got the attention of your congressional representative and got this honored invitation. And Dr. Cutt, as I mentioned, you have worked with Representative Blumenauer on education issues, trying to revitalize the city of Portland. Help us understand what you're doing as far as that goes, revitalizing Portland and the relationship between PSU, the city, and the congressional delegation.
Yeah, and I think that the congressional delegation is really interested in the way in which we promote social and economic mobility from PSU, and so I talked a lot about that. But I think that our work, I was fortunate to be on the governor's Central City Task Force on revitalizing downtown Portland, and I think that's a really important role for PSU as we are, you know, the largest landowner of downtown Portland. And Representative Blumenauer is also very interested in the revitalization of Portland and has worked for his entire career, really, on issues related to economic and social mobility, issues very related to the diversity of our students and to transportation and sustainability, other issues that are really top of mind for PSU.
And he's retiring at the end of his term. He's done so much since he was elected in 1996. How would you say we're doing on revitalization, since you mentioned you were on that task force? How much progress are we making?
Right. Well, I think we're making progress for sure. You know, the biggest issues are houselessness and drug addiction, and those are issues that we do research on, and we help to train a workforce that responds to that. But in terms of our contribution, we're really focused on how we can help revitalize, bring people back, bring more people to the arts and cultural destination that downtown Portland is and that we can offer, as well as our educational opportunities. So we're excited to be working on various placemaking and arts venue destinations for downtown Portland, which be happy to talk about, but perhaps I should let you move on to another.
Well, you mentioned behavioral health, addiction, houselessness, something close to Glenn and your work. You're the behavioral health specialist with the Milwaukee Police Department. Yes. Tell us about your work and how you met Lori Chavez Dreamer.
I am the behavioral health specialist for the city of Milwaukee, and I started in addiction counseling. So I've worked in the field for over 6 years in addiction counseling and then moved into the mental health world. And I got connected to Ms. Chavez Dreamer through Love One and the Father's Heart. Love One is a nonprofit in Clackamas County that works with our houseless population, and Father's Heart is the only day center that we have in Clackamas County, not a nighttime shelter because we don't have those yet in Clackamas. And she held a community conversation with some of the commissioners from Clackamas County, Love One, Father's Heart, state representative, and some other players at the field. There was somebody from Marion County too that came up. And we just talked about tackling the opioid epidemic, houselessness, and mental health, which a lot of the times are together in the population that Loved One serves and that I work with in Milwaukee. So that was how we got together, and we're working on some common threads, and really, she's really passionate about coming together and building that community to work on this. And I'm just so excited for it.
Well, you have quite a story about how you became the behavioral health specialist. You have lived experience. Tell us just a little bit about that.
Yeah, sure. I used meth for 21 years. I've been in incarceration. I've been houselessness for years. And I continued my education. I went to school for almost 7 years. Got my master's degree at Portland State in social work. And I majored in public leadership and community organizations. So it's really my goal to get community partners to come together to tackle these big issues.
What a journey that you've been on. We're so glad to have you here, Glenn.
Thank you.
As we talk about your work, John and Jennifer, first, from all of us, I know here at KGW, we express our deepest condolences about the loss of Cal in 2020 and our admiration for your bravery and your courage in the work you're doing to try to save other youth and help other families avoid what you had to go through. First, tell us a little bit about Cal and what happened.
Sure. Well, we have two sons. Miles is a year and a half older than Cal, and Cal was 18. At the end of 2020 when he came home from his first semester at university in Hawaii for the winter break. We were really looking forward to catching up with Cal, but we didn't get the chance because he had only been home a short number of days. He was scheduled for a COVID test, and we noticed the car hadn't left. And so we went to check on him and found him unresponsive in his bed. First responders came and all of the things that go with that, and we were able to get Cal to the hospital, but we weren't able to bring him home. We found out that he had later purchased what he thought was an oxycodone pill online on social media for a few dollars, thinking it was oxycodone, which we learned from his search history and on his computer, but it turned out to be entirely made of fentanyl. This was a kid who didn't have a dependency or substance use disorder as far as we know. And not that we sort of make that point, not because we put Cal's situation in any way better or than anyone else. There's so many thousands we've lost. It's just that so many families and young people aren't thinking about this new development in the overdose epidemic and how something deceptive in a pill can take their lives quickly. And so we make that point that Cal was, kind of a normal average kid, lots of friends, well-adjusted, and didn't have a substance use disorder and experienced the harms of fentanyl in a way that we didn't even know existed.
Well, Jennifer, according to the nonprofit Song for Charlie, only 2 in 5 young Americans consider themselves knowledgeable about fentanyl, to your point there, John. And Jennifer, you helped pass a bill requiring fentanyl education in schools, and you've got a new program that's about to launch, the New Drug Talk Connect to Protect Oregon. Tell us about that.
Yes, the New Drug Talk is a program that was originally developed by Song for Charlie for the state of California with funds from the California Department of Healthcare Services. And it's a program that is intended to educate parents and caregivers about fentanyl and how the drug landscape has changed since they were a kid, help them to understand what is going on and to encourage them to have ongoing conversations about prescription pills, the dangers of prescription pills, skills and mental health with their kids. And we know that young people, whenever they understand the risk of a drug or anything, they're less likely to partake in it. And we think that the parents are an important part of the education that kids get. You know, we cannot depend just on schools or on doctors or on social media to educate our kids. You know, a lot of this information needs to come from the parents, but the parents in many cases aren't equipped, don't understand what's going on, and don't really know how to engage in productive or I shouldn't say not, perhaps it's better to say they are not confident in how to engage in conversations that will not be, that will open up the conversations, that will continue the conversations, not be judgmental, and to have ongoing talks with their
And we should say that National Fentanyl Awareness Day is May 7th, and there is a website you can check out there on your screen now to find out more information. That's May 7th. And just briefly, John, you're working with Congresswoman Bonamici to develop her bipartisan bill, Fentanyl Awareness for Children and Teens Schools Act, or FACTS for short. The idea is to scale up and replicate the things that are working, like in Oregon, on the national scale. What's it like to be part of that?
Well, it's really exciting because the bill is so targeted at exactly the small part of the larger crisis that we focus on, and that is naive, unsuspecting, unknowledgeable, or lacking knowledge young people in middle school and high school. Representative Bonamici's act is thinking about the work that's been done in Oregon and in Beaverton School District in particular, where they've had great success with their Fake and Fatal program, and looking to scale that up by investing and funding pilot programs across the country that will deliver that content to students, train teachers, ensure naloxone in schools, and collect data and some interagency task force and these kinds of things. But it's really very targeted at this part of the problem. And you know, the crisis is large and complex and very, very polarized in lots of ways. But the topic of educating kids and families about the risks of fentanyl coming in deceptive forms is actually very simple. And once you get airtime for it, once you talk to various members I spoke with, it becomes pretty simple and clear why we should do something like that.
Let me bring Dr. Cut in too to talk about. We're talking about students. Let's talk about college and what the president had to say about colleges. And during his address, he mentioned Pell Grants. So let's take a look at what he said. And I want to make college more affordable, he said. Let's continue increasing Pell Grants for working and middle class families and increase our record investments in HBCUs and Hispanic and minority serving institutions. Now, HBCUs are historically black colleges and universities. Dr. Cut, PSU awards more Pell Grants than any other college or university in Oregon. What are you doing to try to make college more affordable?
Yeah, well, we do have a tuition-free degree program. So if for in-state students in Oregon, if they're Pell eligible, they actually attend tuition-free. So that's one thing we're doing to make it more affordable. We also have emergency fund grants and the like. And I think it's also important to recognize that student debt is loan debt is really a big problem, and a problem that nationally we have to face, because we want all students to be able to attend college, to be able to afford it, and then not to be under a mountain of debt when they finish. Mm. And I appreciate President Biden's moves to lower student debt. But I should also say that at PSU, we're very proud to say that we have very low student debt for those students who graduate and go on. We have among the lowest student debt in the state.
Dr. Cudd, thank you. Thank you to our guests. We're going to take a break right now. When we come back, we'll ask our guests about their takeaways from the State of the Union, what impressed them most, and their hopes for the future, no matter who the next president is. We're back in 2 minutes.
Welcome back to Straight Talk. I'm Laurel Porter. We are talking with community members who were VIPs at the President's State of the Union last month. They were invited by Oregon congressional representatives from both sides of the aisle. Dr. Ann Cudd, president of PSU, Glenn Sukonik, behavioral health specialist with the Milwaukee Police Department, and John and Jennifer Epstein, youth advocates focusing on awareness about fentanyl and other fake pills. Welcome once again to Straight Talk.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I want to just talk a little bit about the State of the Union, Glenn. You know, what was your takeaway? What will you take away from the speech and from the experience?
Yeah, I really liked how he talked about the effects of the pandemic on mental health, because I see that daily in Milwaukee, and how it just has exacerbated mental health services. What I wish I would have saw more was more about the opioid epidemic that we're in at the same time, and really the services on our houseless population and opioids. So.
And Dr. Cudd, I know you were focused on the Pell Grants, college affordability. Is there something else that you're really focused on at PSU that you'd like to hear more about from the president in the future?
Well, I think the president is doing a great job on many fronts. And I think really what we're focused on right now is how we can help Portland to be revitalized. And in that, you may have heard that we just got this wonderful gift from Jordan Schnitzer, who gave us a $10 million grant to build out our School of Art, Art History, and Design. So we're excited about that. But we're also excited about a proposal that we have with the city to replace the aging Keller Auditorium. And this proposal, we think, would be a great way for us to keep the Broadway shows coming to the Keller while we build a much more effective, efficient, and exciting venue that would serve the city. We're really focused on how we can serve the city in many ways. I think one other thing that I would have liked to hear more about is how we can build the semiconductor industry even more to build the economy of Oregon.
And John, what about you? What's your takeaway from this speech?
You know, well, certainly my heart was filled up with thinking about all the other families that I was there in a way representing. But honestly, it was, you know, the partisan politics were a little disappointing. But the whole visit was a little bit representative of what I see generally in the landscape when it comes to the overdose crisis and the opioid epidemic, in that to a person, every member I spoke with on both sides of the aisle, very earnest, constructive conversations with Congresswoman Bonamici to contact each other's offices and work on it. And so I felt very much like the spirit of doing the work was there. Once the cameras were rolling, you know, that didn't exist so much, and it's pretty easy for things to get to sound bites and that sort of thing. So the speech, you know, it was what it was. The work and the conversations I had with the representative of her office and other members was really inspiring.
And Jennifer, when we talk about hopes for the future, no matter who the next president is and does the next State of the Union speech, what is your hope for the future based on your area of interest?
Yeah, you know, I feel like everyone in Oregon, most people in Oregon, understand that the fentanyl crisis is a major problem, and the numbers are going in the wrong direction. I'm hopeful that by educating parents through the new drug talk, through the FACTS Act, that we can change the numbers, we can bring the numbers down, we can reduce the number of youth deaths, as well as reduce the number of people sliding into addiction. And I'm hopeful that with the new drug talk, and which was funded by Trillium Healthcare, and with the support that we get from our partners, that we can make a difference in Oregon.
And Glenn, what about you? What's your hope for the future?
Yeah, my hope for the future is always more mental health services. We really need, you know, beds available, mental health and addiction-wise, available when people are ready and when they need it, and we really lack that in Oregon. So I'm hoping that we can all come together and ramp up services, work together, and get through this all together as a community.
And you have the nonprofit that you head up, right? Love One. Can people help by donating to that?
Yes, they can go on loveonecommunity.org and check out our website, look at some of the lovely things we do, look at all the laundry and shower events we hold so people can wash their clothes,
So. Let me bring Dr. Cut in finally. 30 mm-hmm. seconds for you for final thought about your hope for the future.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm really hopeful with these good people, John and Jennifer and Glenn, the work that they're doing to help the addiction crisis and houselessness. And my hope for the future is that Portland is able to come out of this period much brighter, much more revitalized, mm-hmm. and students happy to be downtown Portland.
I think we all hope for that.
Yes.
Dr. Cudd, Glenn Sukhanek, Jennifer and John Epstein, thank you so much for being here, for sharing your experience, and for the good works you're doing to make our communities better. And we thank you so much for watching. Join me next week for a conversation with the new director of the Oregon Health Authority, Dr. Sejal Hathi. We'll see you next week for Straight Talk. Have a great week.